Hello again, everybody. I'm Wink Martindale with the History of Rock and Roll. We're going to have some fun this time around. Let's return now to the 1960s with the Beach Boys.
She's real fine, my 409.
Chevy introduced their model 409 in 1961, and it quickly became a favorite of California hot rodders. In 1962, the master recording of 409 and two other songs was sold to Capitol Records for, are you ready? $300, $300. But that made major label stars out of the Beach Boys, made up of the three Wilson brothers, their cousin Mike Love, and Al Jardine. Carl Wilson talked about his songwriting brother Brian.
When he was 12 years old, he really got into the Four Freshmen and really loved their music and the way they sang things. God, they made fantastic records, you know. I think it would be the biggest influence vocally. And we were all into Chuck Berry records. That was one of the best turn-ons, you know, anywhere.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
Another one of the early hits by the Beach Boys, Shut Down. The Beach Boys story continues on the History of Rock and Roll.
Catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world.
The Beach Boys' first records brought them almost instant fame, and fans as well. Mike Love remembers.
We were at a ballroom at Lake Minnetonka outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the place was sold out, and kids were breaking the windows to get in, and when we did four sets that night, and after our second set, we went outside and looked down the roadway, and there were still lines of a line of cars, and you could see the headlights all the way down the road. That incredible popularity, and that was all due to the radio and the airplay we got with Surf and Safari.
Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Come on a safari with me.
One of my favorites by the early Beach Boys, Surfin' Safari. Not every early Beach Boys song dealt with sand and surf in cars. In fact, the very first song Brian Wilson ever wrote was about his girlfriend, Judy Bowles. Somehow, though, Brian was able to give his ode to Judy a Beach Bunny flair. Carl recalled that studio session.
It was really raining a lot then. It was very moody kind of weather at that time, and we were up very late at night, which was still a new experience for us at that time, like kind of all night recording. And that song had a lot of feeling for us, you know. We felt a lot, you know, singing it. And Brian, I think that's a special tune for Brian.
Little
There's one loved by every Beach Boys fan, Surfer Girl, in 1963. More of their words and music next as we continue with the history of rock and roll. I'm Wink Martindale, and this is the history of rock and roll. A record now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
If everybody had an ocean, everybody's got surfing USA.
In 1963, Surfin' USA became the Beach Boys' very first top 10 single. One thing few people learned about Brian Wilson, the band's chief songwriter, arranger, and producer, was that since childhood, Brian could only hear in mono.
You don't consciously say every morning when you wake up, oh, gee, I'm deaf in my right ear. I'll never be like other people. I'll never get to hear stereo. You know? I'll never get to hear stereo. What's it like? You know, some say, well, it's like... They go. People say, well, you know, Brian, it's like this. You know, you hear this oboe over here, and then you hear it like going like this over to the other side. Then the drums will be here, and then the voices will be here and that. And I go, oh, really? You know? And I go, I stick my left ear toward the music and listen to it, and that's all I can hear.
The Beach Boys and Little Deuce Coupe. The Beach Boys story continues here on the History of Rock and Roll. Here's another song written by Brian Wilson and lead singer Mike Love. It's titled Windy. It's from the Beach Boys' 1964 album, All Summer Long.
Windy, Windy, let me alone. So
again, Brian Wilson, leader of the Beach Boys.
Stereo, when it came in the 50s, everybody was so flipped. And here I was, Brian Wilson didn't hear stereo. So, you know, I think I was a bit robbed of that pleasure. And I still miss it. I think it's like being born blind. You try to describe something to somebody. What's it like, you know? So it's unfortunately, I'm not complaining, but it is a little bit of a setback to not hear stereo. And I'm sure that if I ever get my ear back, if science advances far enough to where they can say, okay, here you go, you got two ears now, well, I'll be very grateful. I'll thank God for it.
Gotta be one of the prettier songs they ever recorded, especially in those early, early days, In My Room, featuring lead singer Mike Love.
The neat thing about it is not only feel-good music for those of us who started with the Beach Boys in the 60s, but it's still feel-good music even for younger people who hear it for the first time.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down and says his school is great, I rise.
The Beach Boys and Be True to Your School. The Beach Boys, by the way, all attended Hawthorne High in Hawthorne, California. Part of that school's fight song, Scarlet and Gold, turns up in the song we just heard, Be True to Your School. Did you notice? And who supplied the cheers on that record? Well, a girl group called The Honeys, one of whom was Marilyn Rovell. One year later, Marilyn became Mrs. Brian Wilson. More on the other side. I'm Wink Martindale with a history of rock and roll, and this week we're reviewing the Beach Boys in the 60s, including this song about a girl who deceives her dad. It was written by Brian Wilson, along with Beach Boys lead singer Mike Love. Fun music indeed, that's the way you'd describe the Beach Boys. Mike Love came up with the idea for Fun, Fun, Fun and wrote the lyrics. He then handed his poem to Brian Wilson.
I think I was born to compose music and now and then some lyrics, but mostly music.
All summer long from the Beach Boys. The year was 1964. That same year, the Beach Boys released a record now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's Carl Wilson.
Oh, Don't Worry Baby, that was one of our favorite things we got at the time. That was so easy, it just really just about made itself, you know. It's a really easy record.
Not that it matters, but that happens to be my favorite of all the Beach Boys songs, Don't Worry Baby. The Beach Boys story continues on the history of rock and roll. Coming up next, the Beach Boys' very first number one hit, here on the History of Rock and Roll. This is the History of Rock and Roll.
Round, round, get around, I get around, round, round, I get around.
I get around, the Beach Boys, and did they ever. They specialized in songs of sand and surf, hot rods and bikinis, and good times under the summer sun. How did their chief songwriter, Brian Wilson, keep up his spirits?
I ate marshmallows for breakfast every day for 20 years. You know, no nutrition in marshmallows.
Like a little kid. Get away from that candy and marshmallows and junk.
Will I grow up to be a man?
The harmonies of the Beach Boys, When I Grow Up to Be a Man, on the History of Rock and Roll. The Beach Boys racked up seven hits in 1964 alone. As America's number one defense against the Beatle-led British invasion. As Carl Wilson recalled, five more hits arrived in 1965.
64, 65 is when we really started to really appreciate the recording process, you know, and just learning how to do it was really fun. And it was just a natural evolving thing to try to make it better and to have it be more full, more fulfilling, you know, more complete experience, you know.
After 6 hours of school, I had enough of
the dance. Dance, dance, the Beach Boys, in November of 1964. By the way, the flip side of that record was also notable. It was a song Mike Love and Brian Wilson had conceived 1 year before. Mike recalls,
it was November 1963, and I went over to Brian's house that he just rented in Hawthorne, not too far away from the home residence, but he'd moved out of the home. And he was at the keyboard playing the most haunting melody and beautiful harmonies. And the feeling was so melancholy that the only thing I could think of to relate to musically or lyrically was you were in love with somebody and the feeling of loss because they didn't feel the same way anymore. So that's the inspiration or the thought behind the lyrics. But we awakened in the morning to the news that President Kennedy had been taken to Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas. So we all know what happened there. And when we did record the song a couple of weeks after we recorded, it was charged with that extra emotion that event, embodied in us. But we didn't change the lyrics to conform to that horrible event. But definitely the emotion of that time and that incident were with us when we recorded that.
What good is the dawn?
What a song. What a song. What a performance. The Beach Boys, The Warmth of the Sun. The Beach Boys were joined by several other acts creating sand and surf music in the 1960s. You may remember the Shantays, the Safaris, Jan and Dean, and an instrumental combo from the Pacific Northwest. So, our resident rock historian Gary Thoreau now takes a moment to profile them.
They were two construction workers who played guitar on the side. They added another guitarist and a drummer, and then began recording.
Our producer, the fellow that helped us get into the business, Bob Reisdorf, told us, you guys are going to be really big.
In a moment, the adventures of the Ventures. Next, on the history of rock and roll. The Ventures first came together as a venture between two co-workers in Seattle.
We were working in clubs at night and construction at daytime. We had no time for anything.
That's Bob Bogle, who co-founded The Ventures with Don Wilson.
When we decided that we wanted to make a record, my mom, Josie Wilson, got interested in trying to make it happen, give us a career in music.
Bob and Don hooked up with Howie Johnson and Noki Edwards. And then, as The Ventures recorded this in 1960. Walk Don't Run, a tune Bob first heard on a Chet Atkins album, became The Ventures' very first million seller.
I read something once. They said that actually the very first surfing song with that sound was Walk Don't Run, but they didn't call it surfing then. I think surfing music came in about 62, I'm not sure. If you just add a little reverb on the lead guitar and some clicky sounds with the rhythm guitar, I think that's the basis of surfing. It fit what we played nicely.
As it did on their second hit, their revival of the big band standard, Perfidia.
The reason a lot of people hired us is because there were a lot of singers and we were hired to play our hit and back them up. We were kind of used, but at that time we enjoyed it. We thought it was fun.
From 1961, that one's called Rambunctious.
Many people think of us as a surf band. We're a band that does play surf music as well as others, but we've really never thought of ourselves as a surf band per se, because we play all types of music. We even have Underground Fire album out bordering on heavy metal. We've played concerts where there was nothing but punkers in the audience that had just discovered us and just thought we were great.
The Ventures on the history of rock and roll. I'm Gary Thoreau.
This is the history of rock and roll.
Do you wanna dance and hold my hand?
Do You Wanna Dance was the Beach Boys' revival of a Bobby Freeman hit from 1958. Their new version of the song came at a time when Brian Wilson abruptly stopped touring. Brother Carl tells us why.
Well, he's frightened of airplanes, and he just didn't like being away from home. He just wanted to be at home and write songs. And he was really starting to get a hold of composing and arranging and making records, creating a sound for tape.
This is the way.
Beach Boys and I Can Hear Music. When Brian Wilson stopped touring with the Beach Boys, somebody else had to come in and take his place on stage. Well, turns out it was the then little-known Glen Campbell.
I tell you, that was probably the most fun I had in my life. Because, I always wondered how it would be to be a big rock and roll star. Well, I found out how it would be to be a big rock and roll star. And the first night, I was just walking casually back to the limo, and boy, here come a bunch of fans, and they were all girls, and pulling my hair and tearing my shirt, and it was all because I had touched Dennis, the drummer. He touched Dennis. Give me some hair. And I said, boy, from that moment on, I was the first one in that limo. Oh, it was getting from the stage to the car was just insanity.
In a moment, the Beach Boys enter 1966 with a guest lead vocalist. The history of rock and roll. Beach Boys and Barbara Ann. They were in the middle of recording their party album when Dean Torrence of Jan and Dean wandered in, and he wound up singing lead on Barbara Ann. By the way, that was a song first made famous 5 years earlier by the group The Regents, Barbara Ann. Around this time, the Beach Boys hit number one with Help Me Rhonda. Carl Wilson recalled,
we did two different versions of that. It was first an album cut, and then Brian felt dissatisfied with the way it turned out, so he did another track and thought it could have potential as a single. And it came out, and it did really well.
Well, since she put me down, I've been up to and in my head.
Help Me Rhonda, help me Rhonda. The Beach Boys' follow-up to Help Me Rhonda is now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mike Love wrote the lyrics to match the music of Brian Wilson.
He had the title, but he had no words. So while he was finishing up with the musicians in the studio, doing a phenomenal track, I was out in the hallway writing out on a legal yellow legal line paper the East Coast girls are hip. I really dig the styles they wear. I tried to encapsulate all the great areas of the United States and then around the world, and extol the virtues of all the girls from everywhere.
Another one of those well-loved Beach Boys favorites, California Girls. Now let's move on to the Beach Boys' revival of a traditional West Indies tune. It had been recorded before by everybody from the Weavers to Lonnie Donegan, from Jimmy Rogers to the Kingston Trio on the Kingstons' first album in 1958. Carl Wilson remembers that Al Jardine made the suggestion they record this.
That was Alan's idea, actually, Sloop John B., because he'd always loved the Kingston Trio. And he really made Brian aware of the song, and Brian did an arrangement on it. That was a fun project for Brian. It was kind of a rest from the things that he was writing. So that was just really a good time thing. It did really well.
We take you now to the actual recording session for Sloop John B.
Okay, this will be Sloop John B, take one. Steve, you're a little slow. All right, we can get a little closer to the mic. Here we go.
One, two, one, two, three.
We come on the sloop, John B. Says, "Oh boy, the captain has sure let me go."
That song, Sloop John B., first turned up on Pet Sounds, one of the Beach Boys' truly most acclaimed albums. Here's Mike Love.
The fact is we worked very hard on that album, Pet Sounds album. We were doing like 20 different takes on a section of Wouldn't It Be Nice. And I actually started calling Brian dog ears because he would hear things that humans couldn't. There were doubts in the mind of Capitol Records. They couldn't quite handle it, didn't know quite how to market that. But it was a big, huge influence on a lot of people in the musical industry. You hear those opening strains of a song and it takes you back to a certain time or elevates your mood.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older?
From the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds album, one of their best albums ever, Wouldn't It Be Nice. That LP also included a personal favorite of Brian Wilson.
I'm most proud of God Only Knows, you know, of the melodies, God Only Knows. It's a very beautiful chord pattern. The melody was little thing and beautiful. That's my favorite one.
Brian's brother Carl liked it too.
That was the first song, really, that I ever sang lead on. I think Brian wrote that in about 5 or 7 minutes. It just came out. And that was really unique at the time. It had a really interesting bass line with the chord progression all countering the melody.
I may not always love you. God only knows what I
feel. Without question, God Only Knows is a Beach Boys classic. Now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And alongside it is a record now in the Grammy Hall of Fame. Brian Wilson recalls how it came to be.
I was walking to the market with my mother, and a dog barked at her. And I said, "That dog barked at you, Mom." And she goes, "Well, he probably picked up the vibrations and didn't like me. So he barked." They go, "Some dogs bark at some people, but it won't bark at other people." So she said it was the vibrations that he picked up. So from there, I said, "Good vibrations."
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
What a record. What a record indeed. Good Vibrations. Brian Wilson used to refer to Good Vibrations as his little pocket symphony.
It took us 6 weeks to record it. You know, it was done in sections. And we cut one part in one studio. And we used 5 different studios for the same record. So we got a unique sound out of it. Plus, we got some sales. Plus, made people happy. And it was just brilliantly constructed.
The Beach Boys story continues here on the History of Rock and Roll. My name is Wink Martindale, and you're listening to the History of Rock and Roll.
I've been in this town so long that back in the city I've been taken for a lost
home. That was the Beach Boys' hit in the fall of 1967, Heroes and Villains. Lead singer Mike Love.
It's a blessing to be able to do music, especially your own music, and have people appreciate it 50 years after you started.
Well, I walked up to her and I asked her if she wanted to dance.
The Beach Boys story continues here on the History of Rock and Roll.
It's automatic.
Do it again. From the Beach Boys in 1968. We'd do it again, but we just don't have time. Here's Carl Wilson.
When you're just doing whatever you do, you know, and people are making a fuss about it or thinking that there's something special about it, it's so different, you know, it's a really different experience. I think we just accepted it as part of the myth or something that goes along with it.
In a moment, the Beach Boys in concert. On the History of Rock and Roll. I'm Wink Martindale with the History of Rock and Roll, and as you know, we've been profiling the legendary Beach Boys on this edition of the show. The Beach Boys as they were in the 60s. During that decade, when not in the studio, the Beach Boys were on the road all over the world, putting on concert after concert. Mike Love recalls,
"We were extremely well received. It was pandemonium. They whistled and stomped at the same time. It was an experience of a lifetime."
Here now is the beat of the Beach Boys in concert in the 1960s. The Beach Boys in concert. The Beach Boys' last major hit of the 60s was Do It Again in 1968. They continued to record after that, but mostly focused on live concerts held all over the world. But then something magical happened. 20 years after the Beach Boys sang Do It Again, they did, soaring once more with yet another number one hit in 1988.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. We gotta go. Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya.
That was Kokomo, number one music for the Beach Boys in 1988. The song was written in part by lead singer Mike Love.
The overwhelming story of the Beach Boys is the positivity, and through the harmonies and the music and the melodies and all the arrangements and all the work that we've done, it's provided so much solace for some. It's provided so much entertainment for people. It's provided a, like a sonic oasis where people can get away from their problems for for a little while by either playing a record or playing a song or coming to one of our concerts. So I think that's the legacy of the Beach Boys that should be remembered, is the impact the music has had in a very positive way.
The History of Rock and Roll is written by Gary Thoreau, engineered by Peter Gould. I'm Wink Martindale. Please join us again next time for more from the History of Rock and Roll.